Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Pigskin Picks for 2022. I'm Matt Seidel, along with the rest of the Coach Speak podcast crew, Derek Seidel and Josh Trope. Fellas, welcome to week four of Pigskin Picks. I must admit, I almost called in sick on this one. Basically, sick of point spreads. Started with MSU's garbage touchdowns against Western in the second half. It continued with Michigan's, I don't know what you want to call that, a hula dance it looked like in the second half against Hawaii instead of playing football. Didn't cover. And then the Lions, I picked Philly to protect my disappointment. And not only did the Lions lose, but they get a backdoor cover and lose by three. So, yeah, just struggling with the point spreads. But other than that, everything's good. How about you guys?
Doing well. It was a good weekend of football. Got to watch Napoleon and Manchester on Saturday night after a slight weather delay. The Pirates were able to get a big win on the rainy turf over there at Manchester, and enjoyed watching the Michigan game last night. Enjoyed watching the Lions today. I even got to check out some Chelsea versus Jackson on Friday as well. So it was a good weekend of watching football.
Great game down in Austin, Texas. That did not disappoint. Alabama, Texas was a great one. You know, had a chance to go to the Lumen game on Friday night. It was a really good game. Lumen obviously didn't come out on top, but it was a well-played game by two really good teams. And then we're not going to talk about Notre Dame. We're just going to move on. And and we'll get ready for this week.
All right. Well, hey, records this past week, Derek and Josh went 7-3. Nice little record. And yours truly continues to struggle at went 5-5, closed off 0-3. Nice finish to the week. Derek now has a 2-game lead on Josh, or keeps with a 2-game lead on Josh in the overall standings. And Derek has a 5-game lead on his old man. So this week we have 7 high school games, all of them on Friday as of right now, 2 college games on Saturday, and a pro game on Sunday. So here we go. Let's start with this one, a Cascades Conference. Who better to talk about the Cascades than Derek? We have Grass Lake 2-1 at Hanover Horton 1-2. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting game this week in the Cascades. Grass Lake and Hanover. My favorite aspect of this matchup is the battle of the sophomore quarterbacks. Okay, two really good athletes across the board. You got Braden Lape as the sophomore quarterback for Grass Lake, a man of many talents, including I think this week we can see him on The Voice. Just also, if you're a Voice fan, you'll see him on that supposedly coming up. But he also, basketball and baseball player, has had a good start to his sophomore year here. And then for the Hanover Horton Comets, Luke Soper, who also is a baseball, basketball, football guy, had a good game, especially this past week for the Comets, and it seems to be off to a good start in his sophomore year as well. So that's kind of the headliner for me. On top of that, Grass Lake is coming off of a nice win this past week. It looks like Andrew Stockton is a key piece for them out of the backfield. He's caught a couple of touchdowns this year, also ran for quite a few. He's kind of been a staple for them for a few years here. Their defense with Jack Reed and Joseph Pine, their names keep coming up, making tackles all over the place. And then Hanover Horton had a very nice performance against Addison this week, even though they did come up a little bit short in that one. I think, you know, what's kind of becoming a trend here with Addison is their defense is definitely struggling because they did not slow down the Comets much. However, the Comets were not able to slow down Addison either with the wing T out there. So with the passing attack for Hanover Horton, you got Logan Blackledge, who had 145 yards and a touchdown this past week. Graham Gumper is involved in the passing game and the running game. He's a speedster, I know, 100 meter dash guy who wins a lot of the races in the county. And then I know Devin Ackley is also a name to watch at running back. I know he had a big game against Michigan Center in a win a few weeks back. I think this is a really interesting game. It's a pivotal game in the conference. I am going to go with Grass Lake on the road in a close one.
Yeah, you mentioned some great young talents at quarterback there. Braden Lape's dad, Brian Lape, was also a former Cascade star. He started at Vandercook Lake, went on to play at Western Michigan University, and then even up playing some Arena Bowl football there. So, yeah, obviously great genetics there, but the best athlete was mom, who was a Napoleon grad. So a lot of Cascades connections in there with the Lake family. And then when you talk about Luke Soper, great pitcher himself, a lefty, throws in the low 80s. These guys have been playing some renegade baseball together for years now, so I know they're buddies. That Hanover defense, though, they struggle. Gave up 505 yards last week to Addison. So it is somewhat of a concern. And then there's a little Chelsea tie in here as well. Andrew Stockton went to Beach Middle School in Chelsea before moving on to Grass Lake for high school. So he was a heck of an athlete. Middle school doesn't surprise me seeing him tear up the Cascades right now as a tailback. All that being said, I am going with the home team. I'm going with Hanover Horton here in an absolute shootout. I'd take the over in this if I was betting Vegas.
Not that you ever bet Vegas at all, but I agree with you guys in a lot of areas. Are we sure Lape is in town? Is he going to be in California? I mean, is he kind of like always going to be listed as questionable? Well, we don't know if he's going to be there or not.
I do know that my sons are friends with him. Or my oldest is close with him, but both sons are friends with him. And I saw on social media, he posted big news coming in Nashville soon. So mm-hmm. I mean, he might not. Who knows if his music career takes off, maybe he doesn't even stay at Grass Lake.
Right. Grass Lake's only loss is to that undefeated Reading team, quietly kind of taking over the Big Eight. Hanover, 1-2, but their offense seems to be clicking. I think 66 points the last two games. Because of that offense starting to click, and because I think Lape is going to be kind of caught up in his whatever career he has going on. I wish I could sing, but I can't. Good-looking kid who can sing. That's a nice combination. I am going to pick Hanover Horton in this one as well. Game number two, we have Adrian 2-1 at Tecumseh. 3-0, big rivalry game. Josh, what do you think?
It's nice to see these teams winning again. You know, for the longest time, they were really competitive football programs, and they really struggled of late. So it's nice to see the both teams coming in with a winning record in a huge rivalry game. Last week, Tecumseh beat Pinckney 35-14. Even though they were outgained in yards for that game, it was the first time they had beat Pinckney in 6 years. First time they beat them since they joined the SEC White. So 3 fourth quarter touchdowns allowed Tecumseh to pull away. AJ Bryan continues to just be the go-to guy on the ground. He had 3 touchdowns. The Swiss Army knife, known as Chenevy for Tecumseh, who scores touchdowns in every way, had another one this week. And Jake Burns amassed another 240 yards. And Ryder Zajac quietly is becoming a top target now that Joe Benscooter is getting so much attention. Ryder had 89 yards receiving. Adrian is young. They were led by 3 sophomores. Chase Henline hit 3 TDs. Carson DeKaiser caught a ball from Sean Parker. And then one of the basketball guys that we've talked about on the podcast, Stevie Elam, was 63 total yards. So they got all the basketball guys out there hooping, a bunch of sophomores. I, like I said, I'm glad to see both programs winning right now. I say Tecumseh wins this. They continue to roll. They move to 4-0.
I wonder what they're going to do in a close game. I got a feeling this one's going to be close. Tecumseh's outscored its 3 opponents, 143-28. Adrian is 2-1, but they've outscored their last 2, 73-15. So they're both getting very comfortable. That also might mean they've kind of hopefully avoided the injury because they've been able to, clear their benches in the second half of ball games. I'm going to go with Tecumseh. I just think it's their time. It's this group of athletes that's been coming through that they're winning. And they've always won in baseball, it seems like, at least to a during the era when I was really following it. But basketball, they're definitely have turned it around. Football appears to be, and it's happened quickly. This senior group is outstanding. I got Tecumseh win in a close game.
I looked closely at the history here. I did this with a lot of our games, so it's going to be a theme for me this week. Tecumseh has actually won 9 straight, dating back to 2011. In this rivalry. So even though Tecumseh's actually been a little up and down over that stretch, they've still dominated Adrian. So with that being said, Tecumseh's at home. I think this is the best team Tecumseh's had probably during that stretch. So I'm definitely going with the Indians.
Okay. Game number 3. This is one of our really good games that we've had this year. Maybe Mason 3-0 at Williamston 3-0. Mason's dominated its opponents 159-32. That's the composite. Williamston's outscored its opponents 93-20. So they, again, both teams have just been rolling. Williamson's quarterback, his name keeps popping up. Alex Petersburg continues to be a stud. They beat Lansing Eastern 41-8 Friday, and he had 139 yards passing, another 100 rushing. He figured in four TDs. But he might not be the best quarterback on the field Friday night. Kaysen Carswell, he passed for 273 and four TDs in a blowout win over Fowlerville. So we've got a lot of talent out there. Carswell's favorite target appears to be a young man named Colin Page, 171 receiving and three TDs. So again, against the Lansing Eastern team, that's not real strong. That kid Page also has an impact in the special teams. Mason has beaten Williamson three straight years and was a D3 semifinalist last year. So this is not like a fluke. I got Mason going into Williamson and winning Friday. Derek?
Yeah, this definitely looks to be a heck of a game. Something that's interesting I noticed with this one is, you know, Williamson's 3-0 and their opponents' records, their opponents have not won a game yet. The three teams they've beat are 0-9. Obviously three of those losses coming to Williamson, but Mason, on the other hand, the teams they've beaten and they're to be 3-0, they're 2-7 combined. So really these teams have dominated bad competition. I think they are both definitely good teams. And I actually say that Williamson beat Lansing Catholic, who I don't think is a bad team. They're just off to a slow start against a tough schedule. But all that being said, like you mentioned, I think the X factor here is Kaysen Carswell. The kid's only a sophomore. He started at quarterback as a freshman a year ago. He's actually a stud on the basketball court as well, just to note that. So I'm going with Mason and Kaysen Carswell on this one.
I think Mason has the high-powered offense. Williamson has a little bit stronger defense. Both teams come in ranked number 8 in the state. Mason at D3, Williamson at D5. D3 is maybe the best division in the state right now, you know, as far as depth and talent. So I'm going to go with Mason, just bigger, more athletes, and played a little bit tougher competition.
Okay, moving to game four. The Saline Hornets, 3-0, travel to Monroe, which is sitting 2-1. Derek, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, with Saline being 3-0, and they've actually had two competitive games, I think you could argue, up to this point. It looks like they're starting to really get things going on the offensive side in particular, as you'd expect with the talent that they've got. CJ Carrs really seems to be settling in. His top pass catchers seem to be Roman Lario, Dylan Messman, who I know we've mentioned previously as guys that are good college level receivers and tight ends there. And Garrett Baldwin is the other guy who really seems to have emerged for them. I know Ryan Knighthammer at running back's also been putting up some decent numbers in recent games. You know, Monroe looks like they've looked decent to start the year. I don't think they've played great competition. I do believe these two have had a common opponent in Lincoln. Saline had an easier time with Lincoln than Monroe did. I think in this one, I'm going to go with Saline relatively comfortably. And I think that they should be able to get the job done and keep it rolling in the SEC red like they always do.
Well, yeah. Considering if it was up to me, CJ Carr would start for Notre Dame this weekend against Cal. So if he could handle the Cal Bears, I'm pretty sure I can't talk right now. I'm pretty sure CJ can handle Monroe. So I'm going with Saline all night long here.
You know, Monroe's got a couple guys, Owen Yount, pretty big game. Friday, he had a 40-yard touchdown and scored on a 30-yard fumble recovery. Ryan Sealer is the quarterback. Seems to be pretty talented, pretty smooth back there. The note that I want to mention, CJ Carr has a younger brother named Tommy Carr. Tommy Carr got his first varsity action. Do we have another 4-5-star quarterback coming through Saline, or is this just bloodlines? I mean, I don't know. He's already playing varsity. I didn't catch his year. He's probably a freshman or a sophomore, but he got a varsity. And I think he completed a pass. I saw CJ kind of joking that his first varsity pass was a pick six. So he thought his brother did a little better job. But I think if you're going to get Saline on the schedule, their regular season schedule, that probably should have happened in the first 3 weeks, and it didn't. I think they're going to get rolling. Their offense seems to be clicking. I, too, have Saline winning this one. All right, we're moving to Lumen Christi, 0-3 at Parma Western, 2-1. Josh, woo, man, how about those Titans?
The last time they were 0-3, Richard Nixon was president. It was 1970. Think about that for a minute. Friday night, they played really well. As we all know, they lost to a really good Hastings team. That their only loss is to now the number one, I believe, ranked team in all of Division IV, Whitehall. So, you know, they played three really tough teams. Unfortunately, have come out on the short end, all in one score games. Derek Walker led the Titans with 97 yards. The difference in this one on Friday with Hastings was Hastings went for two every time and Lumen went for one. They both scored three times. So they take on a Western team that is looking really good. They won 64-0 the other day. They've had one loss in the year, a really tough one to Detroit Country Day. Western's looking for their first ever win in school history over Lumen Christi. And I think the people in Parma believe this is it. Caleb Oliver continues to have a great year on offense and Landon Heavey on defense. That being said, I don't see it happening. I just don't see Lumen losing to Western. They've never done it before. I don't see it happening this time. I almost think because Lumen's 0-3, the pressure's really on Western, where I think in most cases it's on Lumen. So I like Lumen in this one. I like them scoring a late touchdown to win this one.
The pressure's on Western? I think the pressure's on Lumen Christi. At 0-3, they go to 0-4. They might back into the playoffs. They would have to run the table and get some help, but the pressure is all on Lumen Christi. Caden Oliver obviously having a great year. This Gibson French is another name we should throw in. He seems to be impacting both sides of the ball. His name keeps popping up. The one thing I wonder about in these games, Lumen Christi's had three tough games. I don't know how many kids are on their team, but small town, small school football, this is the time of year when the injuries start piling up. And the teams with depth can kind of fight through it. And if their schedule maybe is a little easy, they can fight through it. Lumen Christi, three tough games where their kids have been extended. We don't get injury reports at the high school level, but it makes you wonder how banged up are they after extending themselves for three games. Parma Western, not so much, obviously, against Penfield. I have Parma Western, whatever streak you just referenced, I have Parma Western breaking that streak and maybe breaking the will of the Titans and kind of pulling away in this one. Derek, what are your thoughts?
So I don't mean to turn this into like a history contest here, but my stat that I have written down is that Western is 2-26 all time against Lumen. According to the michiganfootball.com, that was where I got my stats. Maybe I don't know the full history here, obviously, of Jackson County football. Maybe there was some differences there, but I have 1976 as the year that Lumen Christi lost to Parma Western 14-7 on October 8th. So that was my stat that I was going to go with. And the other loss was a forfeit during the COVID year. So that wasn't a real loss. So I had them losing one time, actually. Now, I guess maybe, Josh, you have better information.
No, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I got bad information.
That's just what I saw. And again, I trust michiganfootball.com kind of just blindly. But anyways, that was my thing I was going to point out. You guys referenced everything else. I think this should be a heck of a game. Like you said, it's when you're 0-3 and you're supposed to be one of the best teams in the state, you know, even if it's you know, they know they played really good competition. They know that they are a solid team still, but you just start to have that feeling of like, man, when are we going to get a win? And you can kind of start reeling and it can really kind of pile up on you. So I'm going to go with Western, you know, whether it's the first time ever or the second time ever, whatever, I'm going with Western this one, going against history in this game, I guess you could say.
Now my Titans are going to pull this out and I'm going to pick up a game on each of you. I feel it.
Our next game is just, a real battle here. Pioneer 0-3. At Skyline, 0-3. And this is two Ann Arbor schools. These are not very good football teams, but we had to pick this one. Pioneer, by the way, they've been outscored 129-13, and Skyline has been outscored 129-28. I want you to, think about that for a second. This might be both of these teams' only chance at a win this year, although Skyline does play Adrian Madison in week 9, but that's not a guarantee. Here's what I can't get past this. Pioneer playing Huron in the rivalry game, a game that I pumped up last week on the podcast thinking they were going to hang around on emotion. They give up a touchdown on the opening kickoff. Huron takes it to the house, and it's basically just the route was on from there. And then Skyline, you know, maybe they have a chance against Monroe, maybe they don't. they gave up three defensive touchdowns in this game, with their turnovers leading directly to Monroe touchdown. Neither of these teams, they can't get out of their own way. That said, I've seen Skyline in person. I think they have a little bit more firepower than Pioneer. I'm going to pick the Eagles in this one. Derek?
My crazy stat in this one is both of these teams' last wins are against each other. So let that one settle for a second on what that means. Skyline has lost 17 straight games. Their last win was against Pioneer. Pioneer has lost 8 straight games. Their last win was against Skyline. So this has been a rough couple of years for these two squads. Yeah, it's tough. I think, you know, if you'd have asked me last week, I'd have picked Pioneer because I thought that their score against Bedford looked, but oh my goodness, like that, it's just hard to pick a team that just got, I guess, beat so bad by Huron. I think I got to go with Skyline in this one, but if you would think that these teams have to be up for this game, because like you said, this is your chance at a win for the season. And you know, they're both trying to break a long losing streak. So I'm going with Skyline to break the 17 game losing streak.
I'm going to put a lot of thought into this, and this is purely going to be a basketball pick. I'm going with Pioneer because Tracy Louder is their principal, and he's a former high school basketball coach at Jay High. Excellent coach, Jackson native, Spring Arbor grad. So I'm going with Pioneer.
That's the reason? Okay. Hey, and we have a lot of love for Pioneer and Skyline, even their football guys. They're out there busting their butt and playing hard. It's just not coming together for them right now. And they're on the down spiral right now, and they need to find something. Maybe this a game here, whoever wins this game, and there won't be a tie in high school football, maybe that will propel them to some positives the rest of the year. So here's another great game that we picked up, kind of extending our area a little bit, almost like Williamson-Mason. But we have Novi 2-1 at Brighton, which is 3-0. Derek, start us off.
Yeah, so, you know, Novi is 2-1, you know, but they lost to Belleville, which is like, does that even count? Like, you're playing against a Division I college team. Like, does that even count as a loss? I don't know. But, yeah, this looks like it's going to be a heck of a game. You know, obviously not as familiar with these teams coming in, so I was doing my research as best I could here. Gotta love Novi with the lot. They have live stats for their games. I don't know if you guys came across that. So they got it going out there at Novi. But Caleb Walker, 408 yards and 6 touchdowns against Salem throwing the ball. This is not Jackson County football, because I've been watching Jackson County. Nobody's throwing the ball for 400 yards out here. So we're slinging it over in Livingston County. But it's all these different wideouts and tight ends that had touchdowns. Andrew Coomer, Luke Aurelia, Tajan McGowan, and Bowden Fernsler. I can't remember.
Nice research again. On the pronunciation of those names. Good job.
I'm good at that. You know, I'm very good at that. But on the Brighton side of things, looks like they had a big win a week ago against Heartland. It took a Braden Childs game-winning field goal in the final minutes after he missed an extra point earlier in the game for them to come away with the victory there. Both these teams have tight, low-scoring wins over Heartland, so that didn't really give us much help in picking this one. You've got Grant Heatherton as the quarterback for Brighton. He looks like a dual threat guy. He had a big game running the ball at the Big House to open the year. He did throw a touchdown to Ashton Tomasi in their most recent game. I think this is going to be a heck of a game. It should come down to the end. I am going to go with Brighton in this one, in a close one.
Yeah, this is big boy football. This is D1 football. These are really good programs. I'd argue Brighton is an elite program. Novi seems to be playing that way this year. Ashton Tomasi, really good basketball player as well, plays for the Process, has a bunch of D3 interests as a basketball player. He's a really heck of an athlete. And Heatherton was quoted in the paper that, hey, I just threw it up. I saw one-on-one coverage. I knew Ashton would make a play. That's why all coaches want basketball players as wide receivers. Two tough, you know, losses for Heartland to these two good teams. And I agree with you, it didn't help a lot. So I'm going with the home team and the team that's been better over the last 5 years, and that's Brighton.
I don't have a lot to add. It is an opportunity for me to maybe gain a game on you guys. So that might dictate my pick here. The only thing I can add, Derek, Brighton is in Livingston County. Novi is actually in Oakland County. But Caleb Walker is the Novi quarterback. Just making, getting your geography right. But The two common opponents and an eerily similar result with Heartland and Salem. These two teams, they look very even. Derek's right. The Belleville game, you can just kind of throw that out. It's just like playing against another level. Because I need to make up some ground on you guys, and only because of that, I am going to pick the Novi Wildcats in this one. So, okay. That gets us into our college games, and I got to deal with the point spreads again. Josh, you're going to kick us off. You've been talking about this game for a couple weeks. We have the Michigan State Spartans, who probably are your new favorite team, at the Washington Huskies in Seattle. The Huskies are a 1-point favorite. How do you see this one?
Yeah, so the Spartans are certainly not my favorite team. They're one of my least favorite, you know, as far as being rivals with Notre Dame and things like that. Impressive win by Michigan State, which we saw coming, over a bad Akron team. You called it on the last podcast that Peyton Thorne was going to come out of his shell and have a great game. He once again did not have a good game. I think that's going to be the difference, that and the length of this trip. I don't see Michigan State winning this game. I think Peyton Thorne is not as good as Mr. Penix, Washington's quarterback. And I think the trip alone, the travel on the West Coast, is going to get Michigan State. I like Washington at home in this game.
Okay. You're right. Penix, man, nearly 700 yards passing in two games. His last two games were the only two they played. There's a running back, by the way, for Washington named Wayne Kalapapa. I think that's how you pronounce it. He's their main ball carrier. He is born in Hawaii, so we do know that there are some football players that come out of Hawaii. I guess we were definitely doubting that in the first half of the Michigan game this past weekend, even though the Rainbows held their own in the second half and cost me. But this game at Scenic Husky Stadium in Seattle, one that's on, I got to get to that at some point. Beautiful place from what I hear. I too, I do it with great pleasure. I'm going to pick Washington in this game, and I will, I need to buy a Husky hat and shirt prior to next Saturday night and watch this one, but looking forward to it. Derek, what do you think?
Yeah. You know, I didn't get a chance to watch Michigan State this week, but yeah, I think this should be a good game. I think obviously traveling is tough for Michigan State. On top of that, it's a night game. It's always tough to go on the road against a good team at night. You know, Michael Penix, he obviously had one really, really good year at Indiana. He was very up and down outside of that year at Indiana. He's dealt with a lot of injuries and stuff. I know Michigan State didn't really get the passing game going, like you mentioned, with Thorne this past week, but they did run the ball really well. I have a weird feeling that this is their type of game. Like, they did this last year. They went to Miami and they won a game that they kind of were being doubted in, and it really kind of sprung them into the year. I think they're hoping to use this as the exact same situation. You know, you go out and you get a big win at Washington, and it kind of can really propel you with some momentum here through the early portion of the season. I think I'm going to go with Michigan State to win this one. So I'll obviously take the points there, and it should be a heck of a game. I know they're going to be up against it, but I got a weird feeling they're going to pull it out.
Okay. Our next game, we've got Michigan on here. After great debate, we decided to pick the Michigan game after all. UConn, coached by Jim Mora, by the way, coming to Ann Arbor to play Michigan, the fourth-ranked Wolverines, by the way. Michigan, a 47-point favorite in this one. It looks like, it doesn't look like it. It is. J.J. McCarthy is the, at least for now, the starting quarterback in Michigan. He definitely has played well. He was outstanding in that game against Hawaii in the first half. I'm a little older than you guys. I know Josh remembers this. He reminds me, I don't know why, he reminds me of Drew Henson when Drew was playing at Michigan. And Drew, he split time with Tom Brady in that one year where they played both. And I think Michigan could actually play both quarterbacks this year if they chose to. But the next year when Brady got drafted, Henson took over. And that's when he was phenomenal. He had a great arm. He had great legs. He was very comfortable back there. I actually thought he was going to be a great NFL quarterback, and then he ended up playing baseball. And then by the time he got back to the NFL, it didn't work out. But JJ reminds me, he's a little bigger than Drew, but I just think this, they can name their score again. It really just comes down to the second half and who plays and what type of weapons or how long UConn leaves their starters in against Michigan's fourth string. But I got Michigan covering the 47. Derek?
Derek, I won't take your thunder with the pick or anything, but I just want to say that it's funny you referenced Drew Henson the week we're picking a Brighton game. He's a Brighton High grad.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so with this one, it's funny that the comparison that, you know, the Drew Henson, Tom Brady comparison has come up a lot. The one that I think is almost spot on that I don't know if I've heard anyone mention this before. I think this is matches up so much with Friday Night Lights, the television show. I don't know if either of you guys are fans of that, but you got Matt
greatest
Saracen
show ever made. Greatest show ever.
But think about it, you know, Matt Saracen wins this, comes in for the injured quarterback the year before, wins the state title. The next season after winning the state title, they bring in this stud young guy who can really sling it, J.D. McCoy. And I feel like it's this situation. Now, the way that that one ended
that
on the show.
Didn't work out very well.
I know, because J.D. turned out to be a little bit of a problem in some other areas and whatnot. But it feels to me like that's exactly what we've got going here. And in the show, Matt Saracen totally loses his confidence when they bring in J.D. McCoy. And what does it look like? Cade looks like a broken man out there. Oh, my God. I feel so bad for the guy. Like, in the second half, I know they had backups in with him. But, like, holy crap. Like, this dude is he was a legit Division I conference championship winning quarterback, and he looks broken out there. And I feel terrible for him. I mean, obviously JJ is lighting it up and I hope he does great, but man, I really hope people don't lose sight of what Kate did for the program and how the reason that they're in the position they're in is because of what he did the last few years. But anyways, I wasted all my time talking about that. I'm going with Michigan. I think they got there. We're going to play everybody in the walk-ons and all that in the last game. So I think they'll play some more of their normal guys, maybe a little longer in this one. Obviously, you're just guessing on how they do the second half here, but I think they'll cover is what I'll go with.
Well, I'm hoping you're both wrong, because all I really want to see out of this game is I want to see Chelsea's Joe Taylor get another kick return. He has one for 24 yards this year. I want to see Chelsea's Hunter Neff get another reception. He's got one for 8 yards this year. So my hope is that they do play everybody, and Joe's starting anyways as a kickoff return guy, but I want to see those guys get some action. The other thing I want to see out of this game, I want to see Cade McNamara enter the portal and go right to Notre Dame. He could start next week for us. No problem. We'll tailor the offense to him. We need a quarterback. We'd love to have him. And then the last thing I'll say is I am going with UConn. I do not believe Michigan will cover the points. I believe that they will sub often in the second half, and UConn makes this closer than the 47-point spread.
Cade's not going anywhere. I told all my close friends the story, having a dinner on Thursday last week with my beautiful wife, and in walks a couple of maybe 400 or 500 300-pound muscular guys. And I said, wow, these got to be offensive linemen at Michigan. And then about 5 minutes later, a guy who's not 300 pounds walks in, and I wasn't quite sure who I was looking at until I heard his voice when he spoke to his lineman. That was Cade. So Cade was having dinner with his offensive lineman, like every great leader quarterback does. He's still a captain of that Michigan team. I think he's a quality guy. I think they're going to need him this year. At some point, he's going to get another chance and he'll play well. I too feel bad for him, but I think his character and his ties with Michigan, I don't think he's going anywhere. I know you were kidding. I hope you were kidding about him going to Notre Dame. We just couldn't have that. But anyway, let's move to our final game. We're going to go to the pros. Man, the Lions broke my heart today. But anyway, we have the Washington, what are they, the Commanders now? I almost called them the Redskins. Oops. At Detroit, Lions are home again. And man, what an environment that was at the beginning of the game. The Lions are early 2-point favorites. We're going to take that as the line. Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a pretty kind of gritty performance for the Lions, as funny as that the word choice there is. I know that's all you saw everywhere on the wall and the Lions buildings during Hard Knocks. I think the biggest takeaway from this game is, like, Jalen Hurts was a problem on third down. They couldn't handle his legs, I felt like, was the biggest issue. They really struggled, obviously, to get off the field. The offense, I thought, looked pretty poor early on, but then yet they kind of got it going as it went on. It looked like the wideouts couldn't get open at the beginning of the game, which is a little worrisome. I know I caught the little bit of the Washington game following and stuff. They had a decently close game with Jacksonville today. So I think this should be a close game. I don't think either of these teams are, you know, like playoff teams. So it's obviously a key one. I think that I'm hoping the Lions can really kind of still build off what they did against the Eagles in week one and kind of find some momentum. I'm going to take the Lions. I'll lay the 2 points there, and we'll see what we can get. Hopefully the crowd brings it again like they did this week.
I think you bring a great point. Neither of these teams are playoff teams, and the Philadelphia Eagles are. And the Lions did take them down to the wire. They played well for the most part. The defense was I thought, shaky at times, but, you know, it really came down to Hurts just making great plays. I think most quarterbacks get sacked in those blitz situations. My only complaint with the Lions, and I love Motor City Dan Campbell, I do, but, you know, some of the decisions he makes are just truly mind-boggling. I mean, they go 90 yards. They put together an incredible drive. They cut the lead to 10. They have momentum. The crowd, things are getting excited. And we go onside kick. I mean, will someone please tell this man he's a NFL coach? He's not playing Madden with his son in the back bedroom. I mean, can we just kick off, play defense, get a stop, and go score? I mean, so I think, I mean, someone needs, like, I know that's what Deuce is supposed to be doing, but someone's got to talk to him a little bit about game management. This has been an issue now since he's been head coach. That being said, I think these guys will run through a wall for him, and I think they cover the spread here, and I'll also take the Lions and give 2 points.
Hurts is still, in my opinion, an average quarterback. Made him look like an all-pro today. He ran around, and I love the pressure. And I didn't even know if Hutchinson had a tackle, but man, he sure was in the backfield and creating a lot of havoc today. Carson Wentz is not that type of quarterback, even though he showed the clutch gene today by coming back. Until proven otherwise, I just don't think the Lions going to win games like this, not early in the year. I'm going to have Washington with the 2 points winning this one. So, all right. Well, hey, there's 10 games. We'll see. I don't know if I can make my move. I do have a couple games where I'm on the island this week. So I'm either going to close this gap a little bit, or you guys are going to be looking for someone else to maybe pick with you, someone that's more competent. So anyway, until next time, hopefully we enjoy some good football like we did this past week, and we'll see you next time.